Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Complete Works. My name is Doug Hess, and I am your host. If you're tuning to The Complete Works for the first time, welcome. I'd like to welcome you to The Complete Works. I'll give you a little idea of what we do on this podcast is that we're going to discuss a specific movie from a film actor, actress, director, or composer's film history. Currently, we're working our way through the Nicolas Cage films, and in this episode of The Complete Works, we're going to be discussing the movie Looking Glass starring Nicolas Cage. And so you can find out more information regarding The Complete Works podcast on film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com by using the search term The Complete Works. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com with The Complete Works in the subject line, or this episode of The Complete Works, you can put in Looking Glass. If you'd like to hear, we want to hear from you regarding this podcast, but we'd also for you to be able to, if you like what you're hearing, we'd like for you to hit the subscription button to The Complete Works. So every time that we have a new edition of The Complete Works out there, it automatically downloads to your iPhone or what other instrument that you might be using in order to listen to our weekly podcast. And again, we're going to be looking this week at The Looking Glass starring Nicolas Cage. As I do every week when I do my review of the movies, this week is no different. We are going to start off looking at some trivia, some history, or not history, really some trivia about the movie. And for Looking Glass, the interior of the motel was filmed in an old international airport hangar in St. George, Utah. It was filmed at the Aikens Lodge in Caban, Utah. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. The film seemed to be an exaggerated Hollywood version of the true life story of Gerald Foos, F-O-O-S, told in the 2017 documentary film in which he owned a Colorado motel and he secretly watched his guests using specifically designed ceiling vents. Looking Glass 2018 release was originally going to be a music video, but it was a feature length debut back in 2016. So some really quick trivia regarding the movie Looking Glass. Let's look at the cast here real quick. We have Nicolas Cage, he plays Ray. We have Robin Tooney, plays Maggie. Marcus Lucas is Howard. Ernie Lively is Tommy. This film was released back on the 16th of February, 2008. It had about a $76,788 gross in terms of money that it was raised on its release. I did not get a chance to find anywhere where it said what the actual budget is. So I don't know if it cost $5 million for the film and they only grossed $76,000 or if it was $10 million, etc. I wasn't able to find that. The running time of this film is approximately 103 minutes. So not a very long film by any stretch of the imagination. But what's interesting, like I said, compare that to starting out to be originally a music video, what some people consider to be loosely based on a true life story. So let's get into the movie Looking Glass. Like I said, starring Nicolas Cage. This is a psychosexual thriller following a couple that buys an old hotel in the desert looking for a new beginning. What seemed at first as an escape is soon a thrilling ride through a mysterious world where Ray discovers the two-way mirror and witnesses a horrifying murder. In a twisted game of cat and mouse, Ray must race to save his wife and himself from a gruesome secret connection to the hotel and the strange people who visit there. Ray and Maggie have lost their child to an accident. Longing for a fresh start, they purchase this hotel in a small town located somewhere in the California desert on their way to Los Angeles. And a lot of times you'll see this in a movie. There's some type of tragedy where they have to leave and start all over again. And in this movie, it's no different. It's kind of really helps set up the plot and the line. So hours after they arrive, Ben calls Ray briefly and and disconnects his cell phone number soon after. Due to Ben's weird behavior, Ray becomes suspicious and soon discovers a secret underground hallway leading to a tiny room with a one-way mirror that allows to secretly observe the hotel room number 10. A young woman named Jessica soon moves into the hotel. Ray and Maggie also make acquaintances with Tommy, a likable truck driver who regularly stops in and gets a room at the hotel. He also uses number 10 in company of a prostitute. So he's a truck driver a truck driver who likes to entertain prostitutes in room number 10. And remember, room number 10 is where the two-way mirror is at. So Howard, a local deputy sheriff who comes by the hotel every few days to have coffee, as well as the gas station owner with his mechanics on the other side of the road. So we got Ray, again played by Nicolas Cage, feels more and more uncomfortable due to Howard's and the gas station staff's odd behavior. He noticed that Howard keeps asking if he knew Ben's whereabouts and what Jessica has nightly visitors from another blonde, a strawberry blonde. As Maggie moves Jessica to room number 10, Ray spies on her and strawberry blonde through the one-way mirror and sees them having sex. Later that night, after the strawberry blonde and Ray have left, Jessica is strangled to death by a masked assailant. One night, Ray and Jessica go to the casino. As they come back, they find the slashed corpse of a pig in the motel's swimming pool with a note stuffed into it that has the word Chrissy written over it. Ray drives to the desert. He goes out and he burns the corpse of the pig. As he comes back, he meets Tommy, who tells him what the significance of the pig is. Tommy says that a young local woman named Chrissy had committed suicide in the pool by cutting her stomach open. Gruesome mass suicide. So the next morning, we have Howard. He comes over. He appears to be suspicious of Ray for not calling the police regarding the corpse of the pig. He starts to interrogate Ray and reveals to him that Chrissy was actually murdered in the night after Ray and Maggie had first visited the hotel prior to buying it, and that her murder had not yet been caught. He also reveals that he spoke to the gas station staff who had an eye on him ever since. And after Howard repeatedly asked Ray if he murdered Chrissy, and Ray repeatedly nervously denies, Howard starts to laugh and appears that he actually starts to believe him. So soon we find the strawberry blonde moves back in the hotel and insists on getting room number 10. Ray propositions her and she ignores it. Later that night, Ray watches her and another woman having sex and notices a man sitting in the corner in the bathroom. So the news then reports on Jessica, who has been found murdered in the desert. So when the strawberry blonde leaves, he follows her car to a bar and interrogates her about Jessica's death, since she had been with her the night before she died. But as you can imagine, the strawberry blonde does not have an answer to his question, and she reveals she knows about the one-way mirror. And the man attacks Ray, but Ray pulls a revolver and knocks him unconscious. He tells the strawberry blonde then to stay away from his hotel. Don't come back anymore. She knows about the two-way mirror. Ray doesn't want her at all involved or around the hotel. So as he's coming back to the hotel, he sees a man running away and notices red paint or blood on the window, shop window. Angrily, he goes to the gas station manager and accuses him of being involved. But as you can imagine, the manager denies having any involvement whatsoever. As he goes back inside, Maggie is furious and reveals that Howard had interrogated her about him. The strawberry blonde had also advised her to keep an eye on Ray. They have a fight, but Ray manages to calm Maggie down and show her the one-way mirror, admitting to her having watched other people in sexual activities. Ray is then convinced something happened in motel room number 10. He decides the only way to find out is to speak to Ben. After calling many people and asking them to leave Ben a message, Ben finally calls and agrees to meet Ray in the desert. As they meet, Ben seems to be confused and suffering from paranoia. Ray tells Ben he should know something about the one-way mirror and calls him a pervert, but Ben answers he was studying the human psychology. He offers Ray to pay him back 50% of the purchase price and advises him to leave town immediately. Suddenly, a gunshot strikes Ben in the chest and kills him, and Ray sees a car speeding off in the desert, or in the distance, I should say. Revealing he is in danger, he calls his wife, Maggie, and asks her to pack up their things. Upon arriving at the motel, he notices Howard's police car is in the parking lot and finds signs of a struggle in the apartment. Looking through the one-way mirror, he sees Maggie gagged and restrained to the bed and Howard laying in wait for him. So Howard tells Maggie he plans to kill her and Ray, making it look like Ray killed her and then committed suicide. Ray then lures Howard to the mirror, then breaks through it and attacks him. Howard says he now understands why Ben knew about what he did, revealing why he was so anxious to find him. They have a scuffle, but Ray manages to get a hold of the pistol and he kills Howard. He frees Maggie and they leave and they speed off in the car. I should have mentioned earlier that the film was directed by Tim Hunter. The screenplay was by Jerry Rapp and Matthew Wilder. Overall, actually, I thought the concept or the idea of the film was pretty strong, and actually, it was kind of different. It was kind of nice, but the thing about it is, okay, I'll just say it this way: one, you could tell it was a short film or a short idea, and they made it into and kind of stretched it into an hour or 103 minutes. Little over an hour in terms of that film. Again, the concept was kind of neat and original. The problem with the whole thing is that it was kind of predictable in a lot of places. You kind of seen this story before, kind of knew where it was going. I thought Nicolas Cage did a decent job in this film. Again, like I've said in several other episodes, it wasn't his best film. I don't think this was necessarily his worst film either. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I'd give him a 6.5, probably a 6.5 in terms of this. It was kind of an interesting concept. But yet predictable in a lot of ways. In terms of that, you know, was it? But again, it wasn't necessarily a bad film either. Like I said, I'd give it kind of like a 6.5 in terms of that. It didn't do very well at the box office, if you will. Like I said, only making about $76,000. Again, I could not tell you exactly what it cost to make the film. I couldn't find that. Usually I'm able to find that type of information. But like I said, it was primarily based in Utah. 6.5 for me on this overall. If you get a chance to watch it, like I said, 103 minutes isn't very long. and it's something that you can knock out pretty quickly. Overall, a decent film, but again, it wasn't one of Nicolas Cage's strongest performance, but it wasn't a terrible performance either. Overall, like I said, 6.5 in terms of that. So I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Complete Works. You can find more of The Complete Works on film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. Just search for Doug Hess or The Complete Works. You can find me also on Twitter at HessDoug14. Again, that's HessDoug14. If you listen to the podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate the review of the episode. If you're listening to this podcast on your YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. Tune in next time when I review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. I'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll see you very soon. Thanks again, everyone.